I was involved in the reviewing of it. It was written by Dr. David Himmelstein and Dr. Steffi Woolhandler.
And, okay, you're actually coming out and suggesting that they defeat the Senate health bill.
We are. We have been reluctant to take a position opposing the legislation throughout the year, but it finally reached a point where we felt like this legislation was going to be more harmful than it would be helpful, and that it was our responsibility to speak out against the Senate legislation.
Well, if we could go into that a little bit, because I read the statement, and so you find in the bill there are some pretty good provisions, expansion of Medicaid, increased funding for the community clinics, and curbing of some of the worst practices, but you feel that those positives don't begin to outweigh all the negatives.
That's right. Our position is that those positive pieces of the legislation could be passed separately, but they don't need to be passed along with what basically amounts to taking about $500 billion of our public dollars and putting them into the hands of the private insurance industry, and also mandating people to purchase private insurance or face a fine, a penalty, that those two provisions are going to further empower the very industry which has influenced this legislation in their favor and which will continue to influence legislation to favor them over the lives of our patients.
You know, one of the things I think has been so difficult, the Republicans and their allies have had such totally obstructionist tactics and, you know, kind of alarmist rhetoric, death panels and all that kind of stuff. And so I really feel it's kind of sad to me that people with like you that have really very knowledgeable voices, I just don't think that you have really been heard. And so one of the biggest problems, as you just mentioned, the individual mandate. Now, this is not going to be a little financial burden on a lot of people, is it?
No. I mean, for those who are in, you know, working class families, this is going to be a huge financial burden. And the problem is that the policies that many families will be able to afford, because they're going to be forced to find a policy now. So for many families, they'll have to try to find a policy that's the least expensive, that those policies will not cover their health care needs when they have a serious illness. So for some of these, they'll only cover maybe 60% of the expenses, and the other 40% is going to be on the families. And that's what we know is already driving families into bankruptcy and into losing their homes.
Yeah, and it could be only about 60% of their health care costs to boot. And
Right. And
then another factor of the Senate plan is the, quotes, the Cadillac tax. Now, that is very misleading, isn't it?
It is misleading, yes, because that will, again, start affecting many families who are middle working class families having to pay a 40% tax on their health benefits.
Ooh, let's repeat that, because a lot of women, really, and this is the women's show, are really going to be affected by that, because the cost of, you know, these close Cadillac plans. Now, a lot of these plans have been hard fought victories by union and other people, you know, right, to get the kind of benefits they need. And so it totally depends on the region and the demographics. And women on the whole, medical costs or their medical charges for insurance are higher than for men just to start with.
Right.
And then if you happen to be in a state that, you know, has pretty expensive insurance like Maine or New York, this just really underscores it. And so I think that that's another factor. And also, again, doing the women's show, the anti-abortion provisions are really going to be a true burden on women.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, and women have suffered under the situation that we have in this country here for many years, and that's not actually getting better.
And then another thing that I want to bring out, that the $43 billion cut from Medicare payments to the safety net hospitals. Now, wow, there are about 23 million people who are uninsured that, you know, get their treatments mainly in these areas.
Right, and underinsured as well. And, you know, this legislation that we're seeing is very similar to what we saw play out in the state of Massachusetts. And in Massachusetts, where they mandated people to purchase insurance, but then they gave they increased co-pays for people who had Medicaid and people who had insurance. And what they found was that so many people, people on Medicaid who had co-pays couldn't afford to get the tests and things that they needed because of the co-pays. And people who had purchased insurance because they were required to, then didn't have enough money left over to pay co-pays to get their care. So in the state of Massachusetts, they had predicted that their uncompensated care costs, that fewer people would be needing to go to the hospital emergency rooms for care, fewer people would have problems paying for their care, and they found the exact opposite. is that more people were using the emergency rooms as primary care facilities. More people were not being able to afford the care that they needed, insured or underinsured. And so the money they cut from the Massachusetts state plan, from the safety net hospitals, because they told those hospitals they weren't going to be needed anymore, they found now that the exact opposite has occurred, and the hospitals are suing the state to get more money to help pay for patients who can't pay their health care costs. So, you know, we're worried that this same scenario is going to play out at the national level. And even though more people will have insurance, they'll still run into significant financial barriers to getting health care.
And particularly as Dr. Woolhandler has really pointed out, for many of these programs, or for many people, the taxes are going to begin essentially immediately, but right. the actual programs aren't going to begin to 2013 or 14. So right. a lot of economists call this front loading.
Yeah, and that was because there was this requirement that the legislation be deficit neutral. So how do you make it deficit neutral? Well, you start collecting the money 4 years before you require the service, you know, offer the services, so that for 10 years of collecting money, you get 6 years of services.